Do you know if something happened to her?
We would have fell off.
I would have fell off. Let's pray, and then we'll sing some good old songs. Amen. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have, for the bit of sunshine, for the heat. Lord, for loving us, for salvation, for your word, for your son. Lord, for your many blessings, for the Lord, just for the ability and the desire to be here. I pray your good hand upon us this morning. You would bless this time in your presence. Father, that you would use the songs, the readings, and the teaching and preaching of your word to edify us and to build us up and to help us. Do you know as well, Lord, that there is a lot going on in the world. I pray very, very especially for Israel. I know, Lord, that you will curse those that curse Israel, that you will lift your hand against those that lift their hand against Israel, that you will also bless them that bless Israel, Lord, and help. I pray, please, that the face of evil and wicked souls would be pointed out, and that people would know to avoid them and just to get them out of the way. Not just for killing, for the sake of killing, Lord, but to get them gone, that people would realize that evil must be dealt with, that sin must be dealt with. It doesn't just go away by itself. I pray you too for each one of us. You know, Lord, our every need. You know our every desire. You know our private prayer requests. For lost loved ones, for victory against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, you know, and I pray that you would grant that according to your will. Those, Lord, that grieve and mourn the loss of loved ones that have gone on before, I pray for a comforting and a strengthening. Pray too for absent brethren, for Colin, for Ling and Frank. Pray you too, Lord, for Carol and John, Stephen. Lord, you know what each one of us needs. I pray for safety. Pray for salvation. Pray for edification. Lord, we love you in the creation. Please, Lord, be one of our number. Not just ourselves, Lord, but wherever your children are gathered together to worship and praise you. Please, deliver to us our daily bread, our needs this day. Please open our understanding. Please strengthen us and embolden us as the days go by. And let us always remember to keep our eyes open. Love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. All right. Let us take and turn to let's turn to hymn number 36 in the black hymn books, if you would. Number 36 is the one that was introduced there a week or two back. Oh, I want to see him. Hymn number 36 will remain seated. And we'll make a joyful noise.
Calvary, food and crimson glow.
Staying in the same wee book, if you would like to take and turn back to number 7, we will, if we're able, stand and sing, we plough the fields and scatter. Hymn number 7.
Of men and of angels, and have not charity, and become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me not. Charity suffereth want and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not fulfilled. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeth not alone. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh not evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, it shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through the glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three. For the greatest of these is charity. Amen. I'm going to spend some time this early this morning asking God, what do I give 5 minutes? And he said, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And I remember that verse because I used to say it a lot when I was in hospital. I also remember what Paul said as well. And he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am the wit to be content. I've always thought about humour, full of humour, but last December, when I was able to walk, when I was able to use my hands, that verse meant a lot to me. I didn't find it funny anymore. I found it was a needful verse. Then he said, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He taught me how to suffer need. But he also taught me when I couldn't walk, and the physios came around, you saw me the way I was, most of you. You are saying, you can do all things to Christ who strengthens you. And with that verse in my mind, I took the physios for a walk. Eventually. But thanks, praise, and be to God for that. But the one thing I do remember out of it all is that people watch you. And Paul's verse is very true. Learn to be content. Because if you're content in what sufferings you have, and they see that you're not downtrodden, you're not sulking or unhappy, it is a testimony of God's glory in itself. And I thank God every single day for the life he gave me. For the fact is, that when my wife was with me, the nurse came to me and said, Stephen, do you want this tearing up? I said, what's that? She said, you've asked never to be revived. And I thought, Lord, I don't remember this. And she said, well, do you want me to tell or do you want to keep it? And I said, no. The Lord gave me good life again. I want to live it. Now, whether I'm doing all I can for the Lord is a different matter. But I am trying to live it for Him. And through Him. Because of this, because of what I'm saying, my faith is stronger, unmovable. And I pray the Lord gives me strength to keep on being that way. And whether I'm a good testament to people, no, that's a different matter. I let them judge me from their own power. But I thank God for giving me the strength of all things. Through Christ. Amen.
Those thoughts, they are good verses. I don't know many Christians that do not know that I can do all things through Christ with strength with me. Some great verses in Philippians chapter 4 that we could all do with, that all Christians could do with, knowing about worry and keeping your mind upon the right things, and God blessing you for it. But appreciate that, Steve. Thank you. Amen. You other men have other things that you would like to, as you read, if you ever have a thought that you would like to share or a wee word of testimony, we're more than happy. Or if you ladies have a word of testimony, you're more than happy to entertain it. Just let us know at the start of the service. And more than happy to entertain that. Thank you. Thank you. All right. I think it's red prayer list time.
Orange. I handed it to you to put in your Bible.
Nope, the only orange thing I have in there is my bookmark. Thank you. It's orange today. This is obviously for pumpkin orange. Pumpkin orange for the autumn and for harvest. Now that would be more pink, Steve. So, anyway. Does anybody have anything extra they want to add to that? You don't have to add it right now, but just make sure if there is something that you mention that I write it down, even if you're on the phone, or make sure that I write it down. First and foremost on our minds should be Israel at this particular time. They are going through an awful lot. There's going to be a heavy cost in the lives of many Jews. Please do continue to pray for them. Pray for them. God is mindful of you. It's not a quid pro quo. That's just a command from God that we are to pray for our adopted brethren. Amen. Does anybody have anything else they would like to add to that? Yes, Steve.
I'd like to give thanks for Louise. Her health improved and they moved her from CCU to a normal ward. We're still on the heart ward. It's just another room. But they did remain important.
Well, that's good news.
So she's got tests coming up on Monday and Tuesday. And according to those tests, she's according to those tests on Monday.
That's good news. That's good news. Complications from sepsis from like 5 years ago.
Yes.
Something for me to look forward to, I suppose. I hope not. But no, you don't, we don't really pay that much mind to it when we're little, because we think we're indestructible and we'll live forever, but it pays to look after yourself. So, best you can. Nothing else to add to that then, folks. I have, has anybody here got private prayer requests? Want me to underline your name and make sure that you're going to be there next time around? Thank you very much. Okay, the Lord knows what all of those are as we ask about your private prayer requests. He knows. And I pray that He answers your prayers. Yes, ma'am.
Just a reminder that Ling and Dr. Shane travel on Friday.
Yes, they will be. I don't know when that starts, but it finishes on Friday night here in Belfast, or here in Belfast, in Northern Ireland, in Belfast. And we will be going up on Thursday to spend a day with my dad. And then, Lord willing, we will be picking them up on Friday evening and heading back up this way again. So please do pray for them as they travel.
Don't forget the meeting with the AIS.
That's tomorrow evening, so please do pray about that as well. And I think that's
it. I wouldn't be fit for it.
Pardon?
I wouldn't be fit otherwise.
That's okay. Please do remember that in prayer. There's a lot going on. It just seems like the devil is attacking from as many different places as he can right now. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. You don't have to avoid his traps. If you're walking on the straight and the narrow, you'll not. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. Sorry, go on ahead.
On Friday, they took 4 meters of fluid from me.
Mm-hmm.
40 mils of blood. Did extensive testing on the blood to see what, if there's bacteria or anything that's keeping me the way I am at the moment. So please pray for those tests. Those will be done on.
Okay. Well, test for C. Thank you, Doug. We will certainly be praying about that. Amen. Is that us? Do you want to pray for us? Okay, let's go try some fire.
Thank you today, Lord, and thank you for the Son of the Lord, Lord. May Lord be with us, Lord. See so say many part of the Lord, and I give him all honor and praise for us. It should be for this whole Lord. We have the tracks went through the doors of yesterday, Lord. You said my name. You said as an inroads to people, touch with one of the red, Lord, and reckon that they need a Savior, Lord. We just pressure your Son, Lord. Says on my part of this, Lord. We were also absent ground, Lord. With Frank and Dr. Shannon. We have Frank as well, the little tape, Lord. We must talk to him as well, Lord. With Ling and Dr. Shannon, bringing safe and security as they travel back. To also, Lord, keep safe and well, Lord, and help them up and bring them to church as well, Lord. We have Colin, wherever he is, don't have any trouble, Lord, keep safe and well, Lord. Bless you often, and Lord, send a ring of fire by and protect them and keep them, Lord, and mind, body, and soul as well, Lord. Safety and Colin, John, bring them to church at one time as well, Lord. We have Steve, Lord, with hospital, his blood test, they come out clear, Lord, Lord, be at work, and Steve's medical life, Lord, heal many in part, Lord, and give us strength as well, off your path, much helper, and give us some rest as well, Lord. Off your John Bradfield, Lord, keep safe and well, Lord, and bless him, and draw him close work for me. If Mark has come to deliver the gospel today, Lord, that's life, Lord, and may we see a blessing, Lord, both in this life and ours, Lord. May you give a luncheon from the Holy Spirit, Lord, and touch our souls and our minds. And give us strength, Lord, against the words you bear to speak and direct our minds towards thee, Lord, for all our weight, Lord, and Lord, give us strength, Lord, and may your great name be praised on the Lord. And may we ever be accepted on your side in the service, both today and tonight, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're going to be in the big hymn books, if you'd like to take a turn to 185. Called My Savior as well. 185 in the big books. My Savior as well. So just remain seated as we sing.
Yeah.
like to take and turn to 21. And let me see. I'm sort of in a little bit of a bind as to which one I...
29, that's a good one.
Well, we could do that one. It's probably like one that I had selected, but obviously have lifted the... yep, I've lifted the thing out of it. Yeah.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Nope, got it here, but we will get to that. I think I'm worth 29. As sound as we sing, precious Lord, take my... Chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1, reading right the way through until verse number 12. Amen. Start of the ministry of John the Baptist. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." The same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Amen. We are speaking for a minute or two this morning on verse number 7, where John, seeing many of the religious leaders come to see the baptism of the many, many souls that whose hearts had been sickened with false religion and made ready to receive Christ as his Savior, he challenged the religious leaders with the words, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And the question, or the title, is, "Who indeed?" Amen. Let's have another wee word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we indeed thank you that we can take this time in peace and quiet and peruse your word and teach and preach and study and think on, Lord, and seal even these words to our hearts. Please bless us, and please be one of our number. Pray for a wee spot up at the Crescent Link later on for the services tonight as well, Lord, and our absent brethren. Please be with each and every one of us now. We love you and thank you, and please bless the teachers and preachers of the full counsel of your word, wherever it is that they are in the world. Please edify your children. Amen. I got word from Colin. He is, at the moment, he's in a basement with a bunch of his squad mates. They're all well, and that's all I know right now. So don't forget to pray for Colin as well at this time. Amen. This is, as we have already mentioned, the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist. At least this is the account, the beginning of the accounts of the ministry of John the Baptist. The Word of God actually records that John the Baptist spent a long time in the wilderness being taught directly of God. And here we have, and I want to take just for a few minutes and have a look at all of the things that John said, and hope that you will understand or see as we do that there was no difference in the word of God that was delivered by John the Baptist than that was delivered by Jesus Christ. And there shouldn't be any difference in the word of God that we deliver to those around and about us. And the question is, who indeed is warning us or telling us of these things? And those are the places that we, those are the people that we should resort to. It begins by saying that John started his preaching in the wilderness of Judea. In other words, where there weren't very many people. There wasn't very much stuff. But there seemed to be plenty of people because they came from all over. Now, I got to thinking about that. And technically speaking, even as we sit here this morning, we are in a little bit of a wilderness in the church. There's no TV screens up. There's no posters on the walls. If you have a telephone, I hope the ringer's switched off. Because one of the things that they used to say whenever they were doing courses in Desmond's, many times they would have them off-site. Because nobody could knock on the door and ask you to do something. There'd be no telephone calls. Literally, nobody knew where you were, and you were away off to one side so that you could take all of your attention and spend it on the job at hand. The Bible says he was preaching in the wilderness. In fact, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his paths straight." And that even goes so far as to speak about the wilderness of people's hearts. Because without Christ in there, it is a wilderness. It's drying you up. It's killing you day by day. And if you don't have Christ in your heart, you literally, your heart is a wilderness. Now, even as John did preach, he wasn't dressed in nice clothes. I know a lot of people say, Who was it said not that very long ago? If I came into a church and saw everybody with their shirts and jackets and ties and shiny shoes on, I wouldn't feel comfortable in that church. If that's the way you feel, then that's fine. But a lot of people, they want to do their best for the Lord on the Lord's Day. Hence the old term, your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes or your Sunday best. People want to produce the best. We're supposed to put the 10% or tithe in the plate. That is supposed to be our best, or what God asks us to do. I'm not bothered about that. Come. I don't care if you come in your best clothes, as long as you come in your best spirit. Your best teachable, your best reasoning from the scriptures spirit, that's fine with me. And respectable. It's not to look like a volleyball tournament at the beach. Neither men nor women are supposed to have bare bodies. We should come in and the whole of our interest, the whole thrust of the service is God. So anyway, John just was dressed quite roughly. He had been living rough in the desert for who knows how many years. His meat was locusts and wild honey. God was literally tending to his education and his needs. And the thing about it is, it was the same gospel for everybody, because in verse number 5, it tells us that everybody came to listen to him. Not just Judea, but all the region around about. And it is the same message to everybody. Whether you're, as a fellow says, whether you're black or white, young or old, male or female, rich or poor, educated, uneducated, whether English is your first language or some other language is, the defining point about us is that we are all sinners and we all need a Savior. And so it's the same message to everybody. And as he went, it was an old habit to baptize people, in effect, laying the old man to rest and coming out a new person. And John did that in the Jordan. He baptized people. People that wanted to show outwardly that there was an inward change. But even as he did this, he had a lot of religious people. A lot of the ministers. Because you can bet your bottom dollar that the ministers noticed the empty places in the pews whenever John was out preaching in the wilderness. And they came to see exactly what was going on. Some of them probably said, there's a fella out in the wilderness, he's called John, he's the son of Zacharias, the high priest, and he is preaching a gospel message out in the wilderness. And so even as John saw these men preaching the gospel, John said to them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who has warned you? You haven't been warning the people. The Roman Empire has not been warning the people. The Herods have not been warning the people. Caesar certainly hasn't been warning the people. There was no DHSS. There was no national education system. That's what the Bible was for, and that's what the priests were supposed to be doing. But they weren't doing it. Not only that, but they considered themselves above it. And John said to them the same message that he preached to everybody else. Judgment is coming. If you don't get that sorted out, if you don't get your death and your eternity sorted out here and now, you're done for eternity. You're headed for the hell and the lake of fire. And so we have John's warning to deluded souls. We have the simple gospel to Joe Public. And then we have this special group of people that think they're above everything else, being warned as well, you're no different to everybody else. You need to get saved. So, he says, Steve was saying earlier on, let's see what difference trust in God makes. What is it going to constrain you to do? What is it going to stop you doing? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. We'll come back to verse 7 in just a little bit. One of the things that the Jewish rulers used to do was say, I am a son of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Therefore, I'm better than you, and I don't need to I don't need to worry about God. That's exactly what they said. Abraham was our father. A later conversation in the Gospels records the Lord speaking to them and said, if Abraham was your father, you would love me. Not only would you love me, you would literally set me up in the synagogue. You would be taking your robes off and putting them upon me. In other words, saying, I'm in the presence of God, I'm in the presence of my teacher, I need to hear. But then the Lord went on to say, but you have hated me without a cause. For no reason whatsoever, you have hated me. And then the Lord says this one thing. Do you not know that God could raise up of these stones, sons of Abraham? In other words, good, God-fearing, Bible-believing people. And people think, well, what do you mean by that? I mean exactly what the Lord did in the creation. If you think that God called Adam up out of the ground, out of the dust of the earth, made him a living soul by breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, and then he took the rib out of his side, he made Eve. He quite literally called up living beings from the dust, from the stones of the earth. And what were they able to do? They walked and talked with God in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening. God is able to do that. That is a reminder of the creation, that God is the creator, that the laws of Moses that came from God should be observed. And these guys weren't doing it. And so John warns the people that judgment's coming. So we have the gospel. We have making sure that God is your capital F Father, your heavenly Father, because judgment's come. And judgment comes to everybody, friends, but there's different judgments. There is a general judgment upon every person that has ever lived. You are a sinner. If you don't get saved, you will die in your sins, you will go to a sinner's hell, and you will stand at the great white throne of judgment. That is the general judgment upon all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Isaiah 53 it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And thankfully, the Lord laid upon him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. The specific judgment for a Christian is that God speaks to you and says, you are lost. You are a sinner. The Holy Spirit's really, really good. He'll even tap you on the shoulder and say, do you remember? Do you remember you did this? And your old sins will come up before you. Like vegetables boiled in a big pot of soup. Just be constantly coming up before you. And Jesus will say, but you know what? If you are really, really sorry for your sins, if you repent of your sins, I'll save you from them. That's judgment. That's the judgment of a Christian, done and dusted, and you're set free. And as the Lord said, whoever he sets free will be free indeed. Free from an eternity in hell and the lake of fire. Anyway. Excuse me. He says, for those that love the Lord, they'll be like trees that will be cut down and thrown into the fire. For those who do love the Lord, their lives will feature Christian things. There will be church. There will be Bible reading. There will be prayers. There will be the desire, to speak to people about their souls. There will be a genuine concern for souls, just like the Lord has a genuine concern for our souls. Now, John said there will be a real change. The water baptism doesn't make a real change. That's for show. It's to signal or to run the Christian flag up the flagpole of your life and to let the people that see it happen know that you're for real. So I'm going to tell you one thing, a thing that happened to me, goodness, 20-something years ago, whenever I came to Bethel and got baptized. I remember the pastor saying, if anybody wants to be baptized, let me know. I said, I want to be baptized. I've never had believer's baptism. I've been saved for X number of years. I didn't know I had to. I would like that. And I had one of the hardest weeks, 2 weeks that I ever had. So many doubts, so many temptations, all of these things coming at me like a flood until I walked down those wee steps into the baptistry and in front of everybody accepted believer's baptism. But before that, I was saved. I had received, as many people would say, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is quite simply the giving of from God to you the Holy Spirit to live in the place where your repented sins have been removed from your life. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire. And it makes you a different creature. That is what changes you. You saying you want to get baptized is just you confirming outwardly what has happened inwardly. And this is what John was telling. Now, we didn't actually get this really from the book of Acts, but this was John saying or prophesying about what was going to happen. And once more, we have a reminder of judgment and how very, very important. I would even go so far as to say he mentions the wrath to come, judgment, in verse number 7. He mentions judgment again in verse number 10. And he mentions judgment again in verse number 12. In other words, as somebody once said, hell is mentioned more in the Bible than heaven because we react, sadly, better to the stick than we do to the carrot. The Lord will, he will check who's right and who's wrong. And I'm going to tell you something now, friends. You are far better having peace with God and trouble with the world than you are at being at peace with the world and having trouble with God. It is always worth that. The Lord himself said, don't be afraid of him that can destroy the body, but be afraid of him that can destroy the body and the soul in hell fire. And it's not just, as you all know, it's not just being sorry that you were caught. It's not just feeling bad. It's a guilty conscience that motivates you to look at your life compared to the Bible and say, I don't want that anymore. And you repent, you go a different way. I think there's maybe in one of the Psalms it says, pass not by it, don't walk by it, don't sit down beside your sin in any way. In fact, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, it says as well. Stay away from it. Be a different creature. And God will feed you with that new food. With all of those things that seem difficult for us are actually good for us. It's like the difference between going, I don't know if anyone has ever taken any of those wee energy sachets or an energy drink. I have a handful of them. I got a bunch at one time because it pulled me out whenever I was in the middle of stuff. You can just chew, it's like a wee gel and it's got sugar and water and who knows what else in it, maybe even a bit of caffeine. And it keeps you going for a while. And that's what a lot of people want, something that's easy, something that's a quick fix. Keeps you going for a while and then all of a sudden it just drops you like a sack, like a bag of hammers. But what you really need is your meat, potatoes and vegetables. You've got your vitamins, your carbohydrates and all of your iron and protein. And what you really, really need to go on, and that is worship and praise, Bible study and prayer, fellowship, and something to do with everything that God has poured into each one of our minds. You might say, well, that's a very simple gospel message. It's all tied up there. There's even that bit of prophecy about Jesus coming along and clearing the decks. The good will go to heaven, those that have trusted Christ. The wicked, they will go to hell. There's everything there. And if that gives you an idea of the contents, if you like, of your message, of your testimony to those around about you, well, that's good. Preach the gospel. Warn people of sin and judgment to come. Be ready to stand against those that stand against you and to refute what they say with the word of God. A little bit more judgment and, of course, salvation. Most importantly, salvation. I know I'm preaching to the choir here today, because we've all heard this before. But if we've all spoken it before, I pray that you have. But who in this world right now, is preaching that message? If you were to look at the news, you will no doubt understand that for the past week, Israel has been fighting for its life again. 60-something years after the Six-Day War, when they tried to stand up and assert their independence, every single one of the Muslim and Arab nations around about them attacked them. So it's happened again. But what we have noticed now in this day and age is how many people have stood up against Israel, even not in Arab countries, when they feel safe, when they think, God's people are getting a duffing. I think we should just get our big boots on and stick the boot on them too. And they don't actually realize that these things were prophesied in the Bible, but that Israel will win. But it shows you, friends, just how many people are so deep in sin and so comfortable with it, are not even bothered about hiding their hatred of God and his people anymore. And countries have been brought to a standstill. Major cities brought to a standstill by these people that hate God, that have rejected his son as their savior. Even people that aren't Muslim feel quite free to say and do all these things. Who's telling them that, for instance, in Genesis 12 it says, God said to Abraham, he promised, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. Has nobody told them that? We have so many of the Muslims that claim Abraham is their father, but yet and all they forget that God said he would bless them that blessed him, and curse them that cursed him. Anyway, who tells us right now that each one of us is a soul that's going to live forever when our bodies are done? Who has told us that, goodness, there's only two places to go to, a heaven and a hell? Most places have an option C that you can go to and spend a little bit of time there until you go to option A, heaven. Who has told us that there is an almighty God that has done all the work of salvation, and all that is required of us is a repentance of our sins and an acceptance of that work? Who has told us that God, my God, loves us and has really gone the extra mile for us and still does, interceding for us at the right hand of the Father? That's what the Son does. The Father dispatches angels to tend to our needs, and the Holy Spirit works continually, reminding us and teaching us and strengthening us and comforting us in the Scriptures and the promises of God and in all of God's other ministration. God is still working for us. Not only is he a loving God, he's a forgiving God. But no matter what you've done, and you may have to pay a price for it in this world, you can be set free. Forever. Who has told us that it's our decision? It's yours and my decision who goes to heaven.
You may think, oh, I don't like the thought of a narrow-minded, bigoted God who says you can only get to heaven by trusting in Christ as your Savior. Well, that's fine. The first thing you should know is it's absolutely free.
God did all the work. All you have to do is admit to him, not to everybody else, but admit to him you're sorry and you need to be saved. Has anyone ever told us that it's hard on people to live without God? Can you imagine living every day of your life wondering, what am I going to do if I don't wake up in the morning? Where am I going to go? I know people tend not to think of this for the first maybe 30 years in their lives because they're so busy, lost people, so busy partying, and then they're so busy with their families, and they're so busy with their jobs, and before you know it, they're retiring and thinking, I'm going to enjoy my retirement, and they quit, their bodies quit on them. Who has told us that it's our decision? I know the Calvinism, the foundation of Presbyterianism tells us that it's God's decision. Well, God will save whoever wants or whoever he wants to be saved, and he will condemn whoever he wants to be condemned. That's not true. God is not willing that any should perish, so any soul that rejects Jesus does it off of their own bat and puts themselves in hell. That's the long and short of it. Takes no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, so it's not his will that any should die in their sins and go to hell. What was it that said at the end of Matthew 11? This is my reference back to it being hard on the soul. The Lord said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. In other words, doing what God asked you to do is actually good for you. Who has told us that there is a judgment? There is a judgment. And it doesn't come at the end of the world. Does anyone remember the wee man that used to walk about the waterside with a sandwich board that said, the end of the world is nigh? Well, it's not. It's at least 1,007 years away, at least. But the end of your world is nigh. The end of my world is only a heartbeat away when you think about it. If your next heartbeat doesn't come, you're in trouble. And if the one after that decides to join him, you're in a lot of trouble. I don't know, has anybody ever had a palpitation where your heart gives a couple of big thumps, stops for a minute? Well, not a minute, but a few seconds, and you're thinking, well, the blood's still going because I'm still thinking. And then it takes off running again. But if those beats don't come, you're done. Your life is over. Anything that you ever hope to accomplish, you may forget about it. The works that you have done for Christ are the only things that you will take with you as a Christian. You will close your eyes in this world and you will open them in heaven. Who tells you these things? Who tells you that if you don't get saved, you're going to hell? And it's against God's will, but he's not going to force you. Who has told us that the Word of God is the King James Bible? It's not the New King James Bible. It's not the NIV. It's not the New English, whatever, Revised Standard, Manga. It's not any of these Bibles except the King James Bible. That is God's Word in the English language. If you want to read the original Hebrew and Greek, have at it. But men that read the original Hebrew and Greek, 50 or so of them, they got their heads together, paid for and commanded by King James to produce this Bible so the Joe public could read it and have the full counsel of God's word. I know if you stop to think about it, who has told us about the prophecies in the Bible? Who has told us that God's prophecies are coming true one after another? Even this carry on with Israel right now, the way they've treated it. That's in the Bible. The government hasn't told us. In fact, the government seems to be working against us right now, introducing legislation that opposes Christianity at every turn, and the country that once sent missionaries out across the world needs them. We're that bad. It's not the security forces. They have become the enforcement arm of a wicked government. They would sooner prosecute you for something questionable that you might have said on the internet than go and arrest a man that stuck a knife in you or took all of your money or robbed your house. Certainly not the paramilitaries, maybe with the best intentions of the world, but they're not out there preaching the gospel. It's not our education system. It has certainly changed from when I was little, when you had to be there in church at assembly time and there was two hymns and there was a Bible reading and there was a wee message from the headmaster and a prayer. And you had RE, and RE didn't include Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam. It was Christianity. It's not our education system. And sadly, it's not our parents either many times. Parents should be told this one verse in hospital. It would be better for you, who's in charge of a little one, to be dropped in the ocean with a millstone around your neck than for it to turn your children away from God. And the same for teachers. You should be made aware of God's thoughts on little children, but they're not told that. And sadly, many of our churches are not doing it either. They're not telling people that they have a soul that stands at the very brink of eternity every day. You might be as healthy as a trout, blood pressure great, in the prime of life, and hit by a bus because you weren't paying attention. Being young and fit and well does not guarantee you many, many decades of life. There's a lot of organizations and institutions that have steered people away from God. They do their best. Because they don't like this one thing. They don't like the fact that there is an authority greater than them. They don't like the fact that control of people's lives is given to God whenever they love God. And they try and strive constantly to take it back at any cost. Who tells you all of these things? Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The Holy Spirit. He convicts. He will see to the day of redemption those that get saved. Those that love the Lord, he edifies, he brings to remembrance, he teaches. The creation preaches us a gospel message that there is a God. Romans 1 says, the invisible things of him are clearly seen from the creation of the world. Even his eternal power and Godhead, being understood by those things that are made, I've missed a bit, so that they are without excuse, but you get the idea. You, Christian, that take a gospel tract and leave it on a coffee table or put it through a door or speak to someone over the internet or on the phone about it. That's who's telling people the gospel. The Word of God has the full account of God's Word and everything that God knows we need to know and that we need to pass on to others. Churches that preach the gospel, they will tell you about sin and judgment to come. The great thing about the Word of God is all the rest don't have promises for them, but the Word of God does. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My Word will never pass away. Not one jot or tittle of it will pass until everything is fulfilled. All of those things that love the Lord, that are based upon the Word of God, that preach the full counsel of God's Word, inform and warn and assure and comfort and strengthen and tell us of a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned from an omnipotent God in every respect that loves us and gave us life for us, and that if we repent of our sins and trust Christ as our Savior alone, heaven is ours for free to us. Cost Jesus everything, forever and sure. And it'll take up as much room in your life as you want to give it. And you can do as much with it in your life as you want to do. You can never lose it because Jesus keeps it in the palm of his hand. And so does our Father. But you'll never get into heaven without it. Whoever warns you of these things, they're good people. They're godly people. They're God's people. And you know, someday you may have to be that person. You may have to be that entity, that organization, that institution that passes on those words that will not just save a soul for the end, but save us of eternity, but for the whole of life right now. God loves us so very, very much. And I don't know about you. Does anybody have more than one Bible in the house here? I would hate to say I have like four Bibles on the go. Yeah, four Bibles on the go at the moment. And I don't half appreciate the work that has gone into getting them and keeping them there for me. But we ought to be friends with the Bible. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I appreciate your good attention. Amen. Right, we're going to sing a wee song. It's in the wee books. It's number 79. That's our semi-Christmas song. It's our practice one. We've had our harvest hymn this morning. We had our ordinary hymns this morning. And we're going to have a wee warm-up for our Christmas hymns. 79. Let's stand as we sing "The Christian Man Rejoice." Let's bow our heads. A wee word of prayer will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the freedom and the wee bit of wilderness we have to study and preach it and to learn a bit more about it. And Lord, we're dependent on you to open our understanding of it. Just thank you, Lord. We do remember Israel at this time and pray your good hand upon them, Lord, and each and every one of their soldiers and people there. Please, Lord, I pray to spare lives where possible, teach lessons where they must be, Lord, and Father, for your will to be done. We love you and praise you, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, according to your will. Amen. Amen.